Good morning, everybody. Yes, it's a bit loud, so that's come down, so don't deafen you. It's good to see you all, and we've got people from all over the place, which is good, from South Wales and West Bromwich and other places, and Paignton as well, yeah. I know you've come all the way from Dartmouth Road, Colin, and we're so pleased that you made the effort, and... Welcome, everybody who's watching or listening online. But it's just great to be here together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you welcome us with a great big smile on your face. You are so pleased that we are gathering together here and online, listening to your voice, worshiping you, responding to your love. Lord, I pray that we would know today even more of your grace, power, and love, and that we will have all that we need to walk from here, to go out in your name, working and worshiping to your praise and glory. Amen. Right, we've got a few notices. Firstly, we've had Tuesdays in June as days of prayer and fasting, an opportunity for the whole church to come together, to listen to the Lord, and to pray for his kingdom to come. The sort of catalyst for this time of prayer and fasting with this terminal illness that is attacking me, and for Leslie as well. And as you know, as you've heard me say, the Lord has removed all the power from this cancer. The lumps are still there, and Colin calls them my adornments. So I've got some ugly adornments here that will go. But in the meantime, it was great fun playing cricket and frisbee and football and everything else on the beach with the grandchildren yesterday. And I thank you for your prayers. The official sort of church-wide prayer and fasting finishes on Tuesday, inspired by Joshua's and the Israelites' taking of Jericho, where they went around seven times. Mark and Louise feel very much that they need to continue for another three Tuesdays, which will make seven Tuesdays, and that finishes with the church meeting on July the 16th. Feel free, if you want to join in for the next few Tuesdays, to join in with them. But the important thing is that we are learning to listen to the Lord, and that fasting and praying is becoming part of the normal Christian life. For some of us, it may have been for a long time. For others, it may be something completely new. So let's see what the Lord continues to say over the next few weeks. But Leslie, I know we want to say a big thank you for standing with us. At the end of the service, we put it on the notices, but at the end of the service, just to remind you, there are people available to pray with you. If there are things that come up in worship, in the prayer time, through the word that is spoken, you think, yes, I need to pray, I need to respond to this, but I could do with somebody to come alongside me, then look out for the people with yellow lanyards. They'll be at the front after the service is finished. The microphones are turned off, the live streaming is turned off, so it's confidential to come here. The only other thing I've got on my list... There are two things. Barbara Bryant's husband, Don, died early this week. He's been ill with cancer for sort of two, 3 years, but suddenly took a turn for the worse. He was in hospital at the end of last week, and he died early on Tuesday morning. And Barbara has been supported by her lovely family, her three boys and the wider family, and... she thinks the funeral is going to be on the the 1st of July, but we haven't got any details yet. So there will be more details coming out in due course. But it's good to pray for Barbara and the family. Yes, the last thing we've got to do is sing Happy Birthday. And this person won't particularly like this, but we have to express our love to Rowena, whose birthday is tomorrow, is that right? And we are so pleased that Rowena is sat here with us. Is there anybody else's birthday, you know, that yesterday or tomorrow or today? Or don't want anybody to feel left out. Right, so we've got Happy Birthday for Rowena. Do you want to play for us? You got it. We pray you have a beautiful time on Dartmoor over the next few days. Not on your own. David will be with you, obviously, but the... I was wondering how to lead us into worship this morning. We've got songs that focus on Jesus, the name above all other names. And I was just wondering what to read from Scripture. And if you're ever feeling a bit blah, or a bit, I don't know how to worship, or I don't know what words, you can't do much better than go to the book of Revelation, whereas heaven is opened, and you see the angels and the archangels and all sorts of people, all sorts of beings worshiping the Lord. And this particular passage in Revelation chapter 15, there's a whole group of people. They held harps given them by God and sang the song of God's servant Moses and of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. We have the opportunity right here, right now, to bring glory to the name of Jesus as we worship. Please feel free to sit or to stand. Jesus, the name high over all.
Of his grace.
Jesus, the Lamb of God, name above all names.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for hearing Colin's voice this morning. I know he hasn't been well for a few weeks, but it's great to hear his voice. It's great to hear him praying and saying thank you.
Yeah.
We all want to say thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Pray that you'll bless each one of us. Bless especially our minister, shall we, for a lovely holiday. Pray
that you'll
bless them and look after them. And may they know your spirit with them, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Giver of mercy, the fountain of life for me. My spirit is lifted to soar on the eagle's wings. What love is this that fills my heart with treasure? Name above all names, Jesus, I love you. I'd encourage you to stretch out your hands to God this morning. You might want to do it physically, but open hands and receive the treasure He has for you this morning. If you know you've got dirty hands, then ask God to forgive you and clean them. Forgive us, Lord, if we've done stuff wrong, said things wrong, looked at the wrong things. Lord, we want clean hands and a pure heart to worship you. And Jesus, we do receive from you treasure. The gift of your Holy Spirit, the gift of strength and peace, joy, wisdom, mercy and grace. Whatever other treasures you have, Lord, pour them out into your children today. Amen. When you go home today and people ask you where you've been, or during the week, where did you go on Sunday? You went somewhere and you were given treasure. And we give a little bit back of our treasure to the Lord now in our offering. If you've come prepared for the offering, that's fine. If you're visitors, just let the bands pass by. We're just pleased you're here. Father God, we thank you for your most indescribable gift of Jesus, the treasure that you've poured into our laps. And now we choose to give you some of this treasure as a thank offering. And our desire is that others may come to know your goodness and your love. Multiply these gifts, we pray. Give us wisdom as to how to be good stewards of them, that many will come to know you. Amen. Right. Apart from people who saw the notices and had a look in their Bibles before the service, who's heard of Sennacherib? Oh, I know Angela has, and Chris, we've got a few. Take note of the Bible readers amongst us. The reason we're looking at Sennacherib today is because God told me to. That's a good reason, isn't it? Walking up the road, Sennacherib, that was the name that dropped in. What we're doing each Sunday morning for a little while is to look at stories from the Old Testament. Many Christians, many of us, and particularly those who outside the church, don't know what's in the Bible before Jesus. We know maybe one or two of the stories, and maybe those we don't know as well as we think we do. But we certainly don't know the more obscure parts of the Bible, the things we don't hear read very often in church and so on. And so each week we've got a different story being shared from the Old Testament. And the idea is it whets our appetite to find out more, either about that particular person or story or things around them. Now, Angela's really pleased that I chose Sennacherib for doing with the children, because it's not exactly the thing you find in the children's storybook of the Bible. Wiping out 185,000. Oh, sorry, I won't say that. But all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. All of it's God-breathed. And I know you're going to have a good time today with Angela and Dawn. Dawn and Angela, excellent. So you're going to have a good time with them. And, well, we look forward to hearing what you've discovered about Sennacherib and what he stands for and what we can learn from him. And so we're going to pray for you guys. And we'll also, we've got Richard and Valerie. If you want to come up, Richard and Valerie, to sit on the chairs here. Because I want to pray for you, and I'm going to pray for the children all at the same time. So do grab yourselves a seat. Thank you. So let's pray a blessing on God's word. Lord, we thank you that when we come together, we can read your word. We can hear your word. Thank you for the Bibles that were in this building. Thank you for the Bibles that the children will be using. And Lord, we pray your blessing on each one of us, adult and child, as we hear your word today. We pray you bless Dawn and Andrew as they work with our younger children. We pray you bless Richard and Valerie as they speak out Scripture. Pray you bless my words, that they may come from you. To the glory of your name, we pray these prayers. Amen. Okay, go guys, those who are going upstairs. Everybody else, stay here. It's going to be great fun up there, but you've got to stay. Right. So, the books of 1 and 2 Kings tell the stories of the kings who ruled over God's people, Israel, after King David. And to start with, there was one kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, and then it became divided into Israel, which was sort of northern Israel, and Judah, which was the southern part of Israel. And if you read through those books of Kings, you see all the sorts of things that went on Good kings, bad kings, really evil kings, all sorts of things going on. Our story today comes at the end of 2 Kings, at the end of that book, when Hezekiah was king of Judah. And he was a good king. You can read more about him earlier on in the book. Now, the king of Assyria, ruler of the Assyrian Empire, was based in Nineveh. Who remembers the hearing about Mosul in Iraq? Do you remember the second city in Iraq that was in all sorts of trouble and so on with the Islamic State and so on? That's where he was based. Place where Jonah went to. That's where the king of Assyria was based. And he had been conquering many nations, including, in the fourth year of Hezekiah's reign, Samaria, which is the land north of Judah, where the people of the northern kingdom of Israel lived. They were all taken away out of the land, and they were never seen again as a separate nation. Those tribes disappeared as separate tribes. The nation of Israel disappeared. And then Hezekiah's 14th year, 10 years later, Sennacherib comes on the scene. He is king of Assyria now. And he attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. Every city was taken apart from Jerusalem, where Hezekiah was based, and where the temple of the Lord was. Now, Hezekiah did what you did in those days, and it still happens now. He tried to appease Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, by giving him gold and silver. He even stripped off the gold which he'd covered the doors and the doorposts of the temple of the Lord. But Sennacherib wasn't content just with gold and silver. He sent his supreme commander, his chief officer, and his field commander with a large army to Jerusalem. The field commander had a message for King Hezekiah. You could read the full account of what was said in 2 Kings 18 and 19. We like to set homework, so you'll find it all there. Today, we're just going to have some parts of it read to us by Richard and Valerie. And so Valerie's going to start us off with the field commander's message, the second message he brought.
Starts at 2 Kings
chapter 18, verse 28.
Then the commander stood and called out in Hebrew, "Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. He cannot deliver you from my hand. Do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord when he says, 'The Lord will surely deliver us.' This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah. This is what the king of Assyria says. Make peace with me and come out to me. Then each of you will eat from your own vine and fig tree and drink water from your own cistern until I come and take you to a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey. Choose life and not death. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for he is misleading you when he says, 'The Lord will deliver us.' Has the God of any nation ever delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Phethorim, Hena and Iva? Have they rescued Samaria from my hand? Who of all the gods of these countries has been able to save his land from me. How then can the Lord deliver Jerusalem from my hand?" But the people remained silent and said nothing in reply, because the king had commanded, "Do not answer him." Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, the recorder, went to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him what the field commander had said.
Thank you. Wow. King of Assyria is breathtakingly arrogant, isn't he? Who could deliver you? Nobody. Look at all these other nations. Their gods haven't been able to say to them, who could deliver you, people of Judah, from my hand? Don't believe Hezekiah when he says the Lord will deliver you. Who are the people of Judah hiding behind the walls of Jerusalem going to believe? Are they going to believe King Hezekiah, who says the Lord will deliver them, or the field commander, the representative of King Sennacherib? Can their God really save them? That must be what they were thinking. The lies of Sennacherib are breathtaking. He says, "Come to my land. It's a land just like your own. Grain and new wine are absolute rubbish. They'll be brought into slavery. Choose life, not death," he says. Utter lies. Utter lies. When King Hezekiah hears the report from his representatives, he knows what is at stake. So this is what happens next. Richard.
When King Hezekiah heard this, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and went into the temple of the Lord. He sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and the leading priests, all wearing sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. They told him, "This is what Hezekiah says. This day is a day of distress and rebuke and disgrace, as when children come to the moment of birth and there is no strength to deliver them. It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of the field commander whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to ridicule the living God, and that he will rebuke him for the words the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, pray for the remnant that still survives." When King Hezekiah's officials came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, "Tell your master this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of what you have heard. Those words with which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me, listen. When he hears a certain report, I will make him want to return to his own country, and there I will have him cut down with the sword." When the field commander heard that the king of Assyria had left Lachish, he withdrew and found the king fighting against Libna.
Thank you. So, faced with this large army, There must have been at least 185,000 men there. Faced with complete destruction of the people, what did Hezekiah do? Firstly, he recognized the seriousness of the situation and his own powerlessness to do anything about it. He humbled himself, tearing his clothes, putting on sackcloth. Next, he went into the temple of the Lord. Then he sent for the word of the Lord from the prophet Isaiah. And that is the same prophet Isaiah that is the book is named after. And then he received a word from the Lord, declaring that this king Sennacherib would get a report, would return to his own country, and be cut down with the sword. This story is all about reports. And later on, Sennacherib sends another report to Hezekiah. Valerie continues the story from 2 Kings 19.
Now Sennacherib received a report that Tirhaka, the king of Cush, was marching out to fight against him. So he sent again messengers to Hezekiah with this word. Say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let the God you depend on deceive you when he says, Jerusalem will not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria. Surely you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the countries, destroying them completely. And will you be delivered? Did the gods of the nations that were destroyed by my predecessors deliver them? The gods of Gozan, Haran, Rezeph, and the people of Eden, who were in Tel Assar? Where is the king of Hamath or the king of Arpad? Where are the kings of Leah, Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva?
Sennacherib's message hasn't changed, has it? To start with, it was to the people. Now it's directly to the king. Don't be deceived. Your God says he's going to deliver you. Don't be deceived. Look at all these other nations. Look at all these other gods. Look at all these other kings. No one has saved them. Who do you think you are? Who do you think your God is to save you? Faced with that direct attack, that report, you can imagine Hezekiah, you know, the impact on him when he gets that. Because he knows all about what's happened to all the other nations. What does Hezekiah do this time? Richard's going to give our next reading from the next few verses in chapter 19.
Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the words of Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them. For they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, our God. Then Isaiah, son of Amos, sent a messenger to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I have heard your prayer concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria. This is the word that the Lord has spoken against him. Virgin daughter Zion despises you and mocks you. Daughter Jerusalem tosses her head as you flee.
Thank you. So, this time this report comes. And once again, Hezekiah went up to the temple of the Lord. That's what he did last time. Went to the temple. He's doing the same again. And he spread out the report before the Lord. I thought that was great. So I'm just going to put these down here. Try not to create a trip hazard for our readers. But the he's got the report. It's a written report. I haven't got a scroll with me today. But he spreads out the report in front of the Lord. This is your problem, Lord. I can't deal with this. This is what the arrogant King Sennacherib is saying. Do you care about this? Are you going to deliver? You know, this is the problem. And he prayed to the Lord God of Israel for deliverance, and that all kingdoms on earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. Having spread out before the Lord the problem, having prayed for God to deliver them and to glorify his name, he receives a word from the Lord, from Isaiah. We had the first couple of verses of it. Jerusalem, daughter of Jerusalem, you can laugh as King Sennacherib flees this place. You could read more of what Isaiah said in that chapter. But this is how it finishes. Therefore, this is what the Lord says concerning the king of Assyria. He will not enter this city or shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with shield or build a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, he will return. He will not enter the city, declares the Lord. I will defend the city and save it for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. So, what happened next? And I always think it's very interesting when God's judgment comes. God doesn't waste any time about it. It's very simple. It's very short. It's very effective. That night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Syrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. So King Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. One day, while he was worshipping in the temple of his god Nisroch, his sons Adrammelech and Sharezer killed him with the sword, and they escaped to the land of Ararat. And Ershadon, his son, succeeded him as king. Would you like to take your seats? Thank you very much for reading those, with all those wonderful words, particularly Valerie. You got the bonus readings there. The angel of the Lord destroyed the Assyrian army. Sennacherib returned home and stayed there. Then his own sons killed him with the sword. Cut him down with the sword. That was the prophecy, wasn't it? That what was told. All this was just as the Lord had said. Hezekiah didn't take any offensive action in the form of fighting. His army, his people, did nothing. They just got up in the morning and the problem was sorted. The Lord did it all. Now, this series is called Permanent Principles Changing Contexts. Now, I don't think anybody here has probably been faced with an all-conquering army of 185,000 Assyrians. But we are under attack. Who is it, or what is it, that is attacking us? We may be facing an attack of fear or anxiety. We may be facing an attack on our health, our family, our finances, our sense of security. We all have a Sennacherib attacking us because he is a picture of the devil himself. His lies, his arrogance. God can't deliver you. Come to me. He's a picture of the enemy that we all face. The Bible tells us to be strong in the Lord and his mighty power, to put on the full armor of God. Why? So that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks all about the armor we have to put on. We are all facing the same enemy that Hezekiah faced. The devil wants to bring us down, and he will use anything and everything to do it. Sennacherib is a picture of the devil because he threatens to destroy God's people, and he tells them that their God is not able to save them, that they're wrong to trust God, that he, Sennacherib, has destroyed all the other nations despite them having trusted in their gods to protect them. And this is the word he said, "How then can the Lord deliver Jerusalem from my hand?" How can God deliver you from what you're facing? The enemies say he can't. It's too bad. You sin too much. He lies. It's just like Goliath, who defied the armies of Israel, the Lord's armies. Who's going to save you? I'm here. Who's going to take me on? None of you. The devil is an opportunist, and he uses our real life circumstances, our past, our mistakes, even our successes, and he particularly uses other people to attack us. And with sickness, thinking about cancer, particularly, obviously, it's been very relevant to Leslie and I recently. Cancer says, with the opportunity given to the enemy to use it, you can't escape me. Who is going to deliver you from me? This is terminal. When it comes back, nobody lives. It's 0% survival once it comes back, which is this has. And the enemy says, who can save you? The Lord can't save you from that. Which, of course, is rubbish. But what about your situation? Is a person or your past or an addiction or something saying, who's going to save you from me? I wonder what report you have heard that has brought disturbing news to you. There are certain times, aren't there, they're ingrained on your brain. In a positive way, when I got a little slip of paper with my O-level results on. Anybody get one of those? Who got an O-level results? Yes? Or did you have to go on a paper on a wall to get GCSE results? You know, how did you get your result? There was that time when you got a report. School report day. I was all right until I got a bad one. That was not good. That word report is a really loaded word, isn't it? We are going to carry out something and then we'll report back. What is the report that you have had that has brought disturbing news to you? It is the devil, the father of lies, who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, who is behind all deceptions and lies and tries to make use of every other attack that comes upon us, whether human or our own thoughts or medical or whatever it might be. The attacks are real. The attacks are real. But we can learn from Hezekiah how to respond to them. And by God's grace and power, we can overcome them and walk in the victory that Jesus won on the cross. We will be delivered by the Lord. If I asked you, there are so many people here, probably maybe everybody here, who would say, I can point to a time when the Lord has delivered me. That's your story. That's the story that other people need to hear. How has the Lord delivered you? So what are we going to learn from Hezekiah? And this is where I'm finishing. So we're not a long talk today. The important thing is for us to hear exactly what God is saying to us. Firstly, when we get a report or we become aware of a problem, we need to recognize the seriousness of the situation, humble ourselves. We cannot cope or overcome these attacks on our own. And we're not supposed to. That's the first thing that Hezekiah did. I need help. Secondly, we need to go up to the temple of the Lord, into God's presence, our only hope. We're blessed to have a building where we can come to. And physically, right, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to a worship time. But going into the temple of the Lord means your seat in the lounge, or your place in the garden, or Palace Avenue, or down the beach. Wherever you know God is present in a sense of you can spend time with Him, hear His voice, wherever it might be, that sacred place. I'm told that John and Charles Wesley's mother, who had, I'm not sure, is it 13 children? A lot, anyway. A lot of children. How could she find a place? How she could go to the temple of the Lord? Do you know what she did? She put her apron over her head. And when she was there, the children all knew she was in the temple of the Lord. So you think you've got a problem. You haven't got 9 or 13 children running around you, have you? So you've got no excuse. And then, I like this bit. This is why I put these bits of paper down here. We need to spread out before the Lord the problem. Have you noticed that when you talk to somebody who's had bad news or a really difficult situation, they want to talk about the detail of it? And, well, I got this phone call and I got this. And at sometimes we can get a bit bored, but we need to be gracious because actually that's spreading out the problem before the Lord. This is what happened. This is what they said. It's not fair. We spread it out before the Lord. Although it's really good to talk to each other, and that in a way says it to the Lord, we also need to directly. I write things down in my journal. That's my way of spreading things out before the Lord, is to write it down. However you want to do it. Some of you will be a painting. Some of it will be a song. Some of it would be a walk and chuntering on, as Leslie's Aunt Bessie used to say. Note how Hezekiah prayed. Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are God. It wasn't just escaping King Assyria. It was every nation know that the Lord is God. That's come in our situation. This isn't about escaping cancer. This is about people knowing there is a Lord. There is a God. Jesus, all-powerful Jesus. Glory to his name. Whatever situation you're going through, God wants to deliver you from it, but he also wants to gain glory. And you choosing to give it to him. Next, we need to hear, to seek, to hear, to receive the word of the Lord. Hezekiah, I want Amos, Isaiah, I want Isaiah. Send for Isaiah. I want to hear the word of the Lord. He was the prophet that God had allocated to Hezekiah. Right, I want to hear from Isaiah. What is the Lord saying? Because it's the word of the Lord that gives faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. If we need healing, we need faith. Faith comes with the word of the Lord. Whatever else we're coping with, we need faith. And that comes from the word of the Lord. So it may come from Scripture. Read in the Bible. If you haven't already got one of these or something else to read the Bible each day, do take one. We're halfway through. It doesn't matter. They're on the table. Just take them. Start with today's day or start at the beginning. Don't let them. I don't want to bin them like I had to last time. Take them. If you're not reading God's word every day, then you're in trouble. And you'll stay in trouble because you haven't got the word of the Lord to take you out of trouble. So that's a nag from the pastor, all right? Read the Bible. It may come from prophetic words. Words that strengthen, comfort, and encourage. Spiritual gifts that God has given his church. Time and time again, we have been encouraged and built up by prophetic words that you have given to us. And we have given them to others. There may be a direct word in your ear. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. They follow me. They won't follow a stranger's voice. You'll know the enemy's voice. It's really obvious. But you know Jesus' voice. You hear his word. He may give you an impression, a vision, a picture, a dream. You may think, well, I don't know if that's God. Share it with somebody else. Yeah, that is God. That's what he's saying. Test it with Scripture. We must not put our trust in anybody else's word. It's interesting when you read those stories. Did you hear that? This is the word for the king of Assyria. Did you hear that? This is the word of the king. Listen to this word. No. We're not going to listen to the enemy's lies. We're not going to listen to his word. He's the accuser of the brethren, the father of lies. A liar from the very beginning. Jesus said so. And lastly, fifthly, we wait for the Lord to fulfill his word in his time and his glory to be revealed. We need to be confident that the enemy will be defeated just as the Lord has said. King Sennacherib, he went back to Nineveh. A report came, just as God said. He went back to Nineveh, just as God said, stayed there and was killed, just as God said. We need to wait and help each other in the waiting for God to gain the victory and for his glory to be revealed. God said to us a long while ago when this news came, hold firm, keep trusting. And with his Holy Spirit's help, we are. And with your help, we are. And I'm sure, even as I'm saying this, that you're thinking, I need to do that too. I need help to hold firm and keep trusting. So let's pray. Lord, you know all sorts of reports have come to us, maybe even this morning, and they cause fear and anxiety. They disturb us. Lord, help us instinctively reach out to you, not try and cope on our own, to come into the temple, into your presence. Help us spread out the problem before you. Help us to seek your glory and trust you for your deliverance, for your wisdom. And Lord, help us seek, hear, receive, believe your word in whatever way it comes, but particularly as scripture. Lord, may we be disciplined in reading your word. And then, Lord, help us to wait. Lord, we know Hezekiah didn't have long to wait at all. Some of us had to wait a long time, even to be in this building today. So, Lord, help us in the waiting to hold firm, that we may bring glory to your name. Amen. In our worship songs now, we're going to sort of put into practice what we've just been saying. And we have an opportunity to worship. Feel free to sit or to stand.
Touching your face, touching. fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is of the cold. He must hold me fast. He will hold me fast.
Let's receive that word for us right now. You've sung it, but it's true. And as we're stood here, let's stand with those we know need to hear this word. might be Christians who are persecuted, who the leaders of their country feel just like King Sennacherib. It might be your next door neighbor who doesn't know there's a God who could deliver them. Declare this word into people's lives now as we pray in your hearts or out loud. Lord, you know the neighbors around us who've heard the story. Amy, Luke, Richard and Sandra, Edward. Lord, they don't yet know there is a Lord God who can deliver them from anything and everything. Speak to them, I pray. Yes, Lord.
Who loves them all.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Lord.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Angela, have you got anything you want to show us of what the children have been doing? Oh. Here, Angela, you can...
It was quite a hard thing for the children to understand today, but we had pictures of King Sennacherib and King Hezekiah, and they wrote things about it. So we've got Sennacherib stole gold and diamonds, and King Hezekiah still prayed to God. And you've done some as well, haven't you, Joanna? You've got all the different people. And I love this one here. It said, "I am king, listen to me," and he's very cross. And then Hezekiah says, "Help us, God." There you go.
Thank you. Wonderful. And that's it, isn't it? You know, well, that's it. They've said it there. Turn to Him to help, and God will help us. Children, thank you. This is going to stay with you. Thank you. You'll remember Sennacherib. Thank you. if whenever trouble comes, you say, God, help, that will do you good. And that's what the our final song is to finish today. In heavenly armor, we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. Whatever we're facing, the battle belongs to the Lord. Absolutely. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Amen. Amen.